Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation outside of 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is March the 4th, 2023, or the Theodore 13, 2026. We will start our first service today on the Sabbath day with a song, and then
whosoever will, whosoever is, it shall shout the sound, send the blessed tidings all the world around, spread the joyful news wherever man is found, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, send the proclamation over veil and hell. There's a loving Father, cause a wonder home. Whosoever will may come, whosoever come, need not delay. Now the door is open, enter while ye may. Yeshua is the truth, the only living way. Whosoever will may come, whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over veil and hell. There's a loving Father, cause a wonder home. Whosoever will may come, whosoever will, the promise is secure. Whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, is not forevermore. Whosoever will may come, whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over there and hell. There's a loving Father, cause a wonder home. Whosoever will may come.
Then we'll go into Family Greetings, Volume 1. We're going to go into number 34. Today it's entitled, the title of our sermon is The Spoilers, Spoils Taken by the Lame and the Weak. One Family Greetings, number 34. It says, the spoilers, spoil taken by the lame and the weak. March the 29th, 1947, by V.T. Hollis. That's been a long time ago. So it says, Isaiah 33, verse 1. Woe unto thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled, and when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. Taken into the consideration what follows in this chapter and in the next two chapters, for chapters 34 and 35 are a part of the subject that is in Chapter 33, where it becomes clear that the one upon whom woe is pronounced in the church preceding the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua, the day in which the sinners of the Zion perish, the day in which the repentant ones are given their reward, the day of the Yahshua's vengeance and the year of the recompenses for the controversy of Zion, Isaiah 34:8. So the church is especially pointed out by the fact that unlike the Old Testament church, she has been spoiling, but has not been spoiled. That she has been dealing treacherously, that she herself has not been so dealt with. For the inspiration, however, goes on to forecast a reverse of this situation. For the church shall be spoiled and dealt with treacherously. For his faithful ones in the midst of her, however, shall find grace, for they plead, Isaiah 33:2, O Yeshua, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning in salvation, also in the time of the trouble. For this verse shows that while the pronouncement of the woe, Isaiah 33:1, is being made, at the same time a deep-rooted reformation is taking place among Yahweh's truth-seeking people. For they are praying not for themselves alone, really for their brethren also. For they fully realize that they are approaching the time of the trouble. And their hope lies in the fact that they have waited for the Yeshua. For the Yahweh's power shall be felt throughout the earth. That is, the power shall be felt through his son Yeshua. Isaiah 33:3. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. For this verse reveals that when Yahweh manifests his power among his people, the world will feel the effects of it. Isaiah 33:4. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar. As the running to and fro of the locust shall he run upon them. For the spoils which the church has acquired, he gathers as the gathering of a caterpillar. Then it shall be said, Isaiah 33:5, for the Yeshua is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with the judgment and righteousness. When these things take place in the Zion, the church purified, which will be the house of David, the tribe of Judah, lawgiver, with Yahshua sitting upon the throne of David, in this purified church will be, and it won't have the name Seventh-day Adventist on it either. It says, will be filled with the judgment and righteousness. Moreover, Yahweh's faithful one have the assurance, Isaiah 33:6, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of our times, and strength of the salvation, the fear of the Yahshua is his treasure. But concerning the unrepentant mighty ones, inspiration declares, Isaiah 33:7, behold, their violent ones shall cry without the ambassadors of peace. Behold, their violent ones shall cry without, for the ambassadors of the peace shall weep bitterly. Here we see that those who are proclaiming peace rather than the day of the Yeshua shall weep bitterly. Isaiah 33:8, for the highways lie waste, the wayfaring man ceases. He hath broken the covenant, he hath despised the cities, he regardeth no man. Isaiah 33:8. In the language of today, this verse would read, for the missionary, roots lie waste. For the Mishnah himself sees it. He has broken his contract. He has despised the city. He regards no man. Isaiah 33:9. For the earth mourneth and languishes. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruit. For the nouns in this verse being profoundly figurative, and the time of the fulfillment yet future, we are unprepared for the making any comment. Isaiah 33:10. Now will I arise, saith Yeshua. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. At the time that the conditions here described materialize, then it is that the Yeshua will arise and be exalted and lifted up. But unto those that are at the fall, he forewarns. Isaiah 33:11. Ye shall conceive chaff, ye shall bring forth stubble, your breath as fire shall devour you. Turning unto the sinners and hypocrites among his people, those upon whom the woe of the verse 1 is actually pronounced, Kadiah reveals that the fruit of their doings shall be chaff and stubble, that their own breath shall devour them as it were fire. Moreover, concerning their followers, he adds, Isaiah 33:12, and the people shall be as the burnings of lime, as the thorns cut up, shall they be burned in the fire. Having commenced the purifying work in Zion, he declares, Isaiah 33:13-14. Hear ye now that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might, for the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire, and who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? When the righteous judge rises to sift the people, then the hypocrites will not be boasting that they are just as good Christians as any. Neither will they say any more, we do not need more truth. Instead, fearfulness and surprise will overtake them, for the greatest and most honorable questions will then be, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? And here is the all-inclusive answer. Isaiah 33:15-17. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. He that despises the gain of the oppression, that shaketh his hands from the holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from the seeing evil. He shall dwell on high. His place of the defense shall be the munitions of the rocks. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Passing from this expression of the divine terror and the scene of the beauty, they are next told, Isaiah 33:18. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Terrifying indeed is the realization that those who are found without a wedding garment, among whom are those who hold the highest church offices, secretary and treasurer, are cast out to weep and gnash their teeth. But the remnant, those who are left, shall be exalted. Unto them the Asher says, Isaiah 33:19, thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. For the guests who pass the master's inspection are actually to be made great, be it in comprehension of a deep speech, or be in the understanding of a stammering tongue. None shall be greater than they, for the eyes of the faithful are next directed unto the city of Yahweh. So he says, Isaiah 33:20, look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Yahweh as a quiet habitation, as a tabernacle that shall not be taken down, for not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. After the troublemakers have been removed, then Yahweh's people will be seen to stand fast and sure, standing not even the slightest chance of ever being disturbed. And the saints shall be full of the joy. Even now, they exclaim, Isaiah 33:21-22, that there the glorious Yahshua will be unto us as a place of the broad rivers and stream, wherein shall go no galley with the oars, neither shall the gallant ship pass thereby. For the Yahshua is our judge, the Yahshua is our lawgiver, for the Yahshua is our king. He will save us. All these things shall be ours if we are but faithful unto them. Again, addressing the church that is approaching the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, he declares, Isaiah 33:23, for their tacklings are loosed. They could not well strengthen their mast. They could not spread the sail. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided. The lame take the prey. They that obey not the voice of Yahshua are here forewarned that the day is at hand when they will find themselves unable any longer for the getting of the spoil. Then it is that the spoil shall be divided, and the lame, the seemingly weak and helpless, shall take the prey. Isaiah 33:24, and the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick, for the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Just think, in a little while, if we be faithful, no longer will any of us need to say, I am sick. Now to review a few of the high points of our study upon the unfaithful who are approaching the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Yahweh pronounces a curse for the church is to be stripped of the spoil which she has acquired and is to be dealt with treacherously, just as she has dealt with others. Very obviously, at the time this pronouncement is made, a deep-rooted reformation is taking place among Yahweh's truth-seeking people, for they recognize the fact that they are approaching the time of the trouble, and they are reassured that the stability and strength of the salvation are to be found in the wisdom and knowledge and the spirit and in the truth for the day. For the fear of the Yahshua is to be their greatest treasure. When the Yahweh manifests His power among His people, even the world will feel the effects of it. For the missionary roots lie waste. The missionary himself ceases. He regards no man. Yahweh reveals that the fruit of the sinners and hypocrites among His people shall be chaff and stubble. Their own breath shall devour them as if it were the fearfulness and surprise that shall overtake them. Then it is that Zion, as the church purified, is to be filled with the judgment and righteousness, for the Yahweh is at that time, or Yeshua, the Son, is at that time is to be exalted and lifted up. For His people who have walked uprightly shall be blessed with His divine care. For their eyes shall see the King and His beauty. For the church shall be steadfast and sure, never to be disturbed. The spoil which the denomination has acquired will be taken by the land, by the Yahweh's true people. They shall be forgiven their iniquities, and their health shall be restored. Yes, the promise to you is sure. Thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. For the glory of the Yahshua shall be thy reward. Isaiah 58:8. If thou wilt but give heed unto this solemn warning and remain faithful unto it. In 33, one Tommy greetings number 34, and we're going to go right on into the study itself. If you continue on, nations see Edom perish, desert blossom, and a highway unto Zion is made. Folks, that's going to take place right here in Texas. This is where this all began, this prophecy. Texas address, Aditi Hardoff, April 5th, 1947. And he says, our study for this afternoon is found in Isaiah 34 and 35. You recall, we studied the 33rd chapter, Yahshua's burden concerning the church as she approaches the time of the harvest, the time that the wheat is put into the barn and the tares burn, Matthew 13:30. For the time that the good fish are put into the vessel, and the bad fish cast out, Matthew 13:47-49. As are those who have not the wedding garment on, Matthew 22:1-13. Continuing now into the 34th chapter, we therefore see that Yahweh invites the nations of the world to draw near and to hear His mighty work of the refining. I have a little alteration here to make, correction. This is number 35, Time of Greetings, Volume 1. Okay. It says, Isaiah 34:1-3. Come near, you nations, to hear. It says, and hearken, ye people, let the earth hear, and all that is therein. For the world and all things that come forth of it, for the indignation of the Yahshua is upon all nations, and His fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them unto the slaughter. For their slain also shall be cast out, and their stench shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. What does Yahweh invite the nations? Why does the Yahweh invite the nations of all the earth to draw near and to hear, that they might consider his indignation against the wicked and his church, and know what to expect when his judgment spreads out among all the nations, that they might know what to expect when his refining work begins among them, that they might therefore beforehand count the cost for his judgment, he declares is already pronounced upon the armies of the world. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of the Yahweh. And that was present truth in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, at Gilead Center with Brother Johnson as the angel of the candlestick in charge of the Office of the Inspiration for the Seventh-day Adventist, and the last feeding pastor for the Seventh-day Adventist in the fourth movement, and the last call laborers in the ninth parabolic hour, at the end of the ninth parabolic hour, to work in the tenth and the 11th. Brother Johnson had the 11th parabolic hour all by ourselves. We had it all by ourselves from 1970 to 2003. So he says, if the judgment first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of Yahshua? 1 Peter 4:17. Now Peter was talking about back then in the present truth, 2,000 years ago. Peter says, if the judgment begin at us, what shall be the end of those that obey not the gospel? However, the end does come for the world. Says, if it begins with us, and Peter says, we've already been purified and sanctified, and the judgment begin with us. He says, Isaiah 34:4, and all the hosts of the heavens shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down. As the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a fallen fig from the fig tree. While verse 3 points out that the solemn events of this chapter takes place in a day of the gigantic worldwide armament program. Verse 4, and that's what we're in right now, being parallel with the Revelation 6:14, where it reveals that they take place in the period of the sixth seal and the days of the seed of the 144,000 and the gathering of the innumerable multitude out of all nations, for the seal that we are now living in, the sixth seal, may overlap the seventh. Isaiah 34:5-11. For my soul shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Aramea and upon the people of my curse to judgment. For the sword of the Yeshua is filled with the blood. It is made fat with the fatness, and with the blood of the lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of the rams. For the Yeshua hath a sacrifice in Bozrah. That's in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And a great slaughter in the land of Aramea. Okay. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullish with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with the blood, and their dust made fat with the fatness. For it is a day of the Yahshua's vengeance, and a year of the recompenses for the controversy of Zion, and the strings thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into the brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched, night nor day. For the smoke thereof shall go up forever from the generation unto the generation. It shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever. and every but the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it, for the owl also and the raven shall dwell in it, and he shall stretch out upon it the lion of the confusion and the stones of the emptiness. For the immediate curse, we see, rests upon the Idumea. Antitypically speaking, it is the land of the antitypical Esauites, that's your Edomites, which would be the Seventh-day Adventists, those who, by the rites, should have kept the office, which the antitypical Jacobites take away from them. Well, the antitypical Jacobites, they operate the fifth movement at the end of the 11th hour of Matthew 20, verse 6, whereas the Esauites, they operate in the Adventist Church as the ninth hour call laborers of the fourth group. The Jacobites is the fifth group. So it says they so underestimate its value that they, like the Esau of old, sell their rights for a dish of the red pottage, as it were. For further study on the subject, see the Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, page 52, 111. Isaiah 34:12. For they shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all her princes shall be nothing. Evidently, after the destruction falls upon Idumea, none of her so-called nobles shall be found there, for the participating in the Exodus, Isaiah 11:11, for the antitypical kingdom, the church purified, that's the church that we're working on right now, the house of David, tribe of Judah, lawgiver, and her princes, that's the prophecy of Genesis 49:10, for a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until the Shiloh come, and that's Yahshua, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Let's continue reading. And her princes shall be as nothing. Then must be that those who escape and enter into the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, and I have this very new addition of inspiration to add to all of my studies now. Anytime I read the word kingdom, it's the translators, when they wrote, translated the King James Bible, for the most part, they left the rest of it out, into the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. When you see the kingdom here, showing where there is a kingdom here on earth, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, they always said through Daniel, interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He says, the great Yahweh of heaven has given you a kingdom. You know what that kingdom was? It was a kingdom like he gave unto David. He says, David, because David was faithful and wanted to make a covenant to build Yahweh a house here on earth and Yahshua a house here on earth, Yahweh says, I'm going to build you one. I'm going to build you a kingdom that will last forever. It's going to be called a kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of heaven. It's going to be, and Yahweh will also be called the kingdom of heaven, as well as a kingdom in different times. So whenever I read this word anymore, a kingdom, and anything, I'm going to add the rest of it that the translators left out. They were bribed into leaving this out. So when I read this again, then it must be that those who escape and enter into the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, that's in Daniel 2:44 and 45, are mostly that the Yahweh shall sit upon this earth through his son, Yahshua, in the days of these kings, in the 12th parabolic hour, and the time of the harvest, and the of earth's history, for both the dead and the living. then it must be that those who escape and enter into the kingdom are mostly from among the common people, those from the streets and the land. Luke 14:16-21. In the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged, for they are self-sufficient and dependent on Yahweh, and He cannot use them. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 80. Only those who have withstood temptation and the strength of the Mighty One will be permitted for the sitting, for the acting of a part, acting with a part, and the proclaiming of His message. That's the third angel's message when it swells into the large cry. Review and Herald, November 18, 1908. Isaiah 34:13-15. And thorns shall come up, and her palaces, nettles, and brambles, and the fortresses thereof, and there shall be an habitation of dragons, and a court for the owls, for the wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beast of the island, and the satyr shall cry unto his fellow, for the screech owl also shall rest and find for herself a place of the rest. This shall the great owl make her nest, and lay and hatch, and gather under her shadow. This shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. Yahweh does not forsake the earth. Let's do this again. For the Father and the Son, I'm going to put the Father Yahweh and the Son Yahshua does not forsake the earth. For they do not forgo His power, nor His interest in the truth and righteousness. Let's do that again. For the Yahshua and the Father, Yahweh, does not forsake the earth. For they do not forgo their power, nor His interest in the truth and righteousness. For He does not let the world go into the oblivion. What He does do, though, is make examples of some in order for the saving of many others. For when the judgments of the Yahweh are upon the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. See right there. I think that the world is supposed to be in there, but VTL flipped that out. I guess the prophets or the writers are just too damn lazy to put all the words when they think they can get by without it. I believe I'm right on that, Isaiah 26:9. It used to be one of my favorite verses. For when the judges of Yahweh are upon the earth, the inhabitants of the world will yearn righteousness. Because earth and prophecy is the United States, and the world is the rest of it. That's the reason why I put world in there, back in there where it originally was. Is it the armament? Then that the nations of the day need for the peace and security, as atomic war to be their fear. What they need to fear is the sword of Yahshua, for His sword shall be bathed in the heaven, and shall come down upon the eye of the man and upon the people of His curse. For they need not fear anything if they fear the Yahshua. Let them make Him their fear, their dread, and their protection. Isaiah 8:13. So He commands. Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye out of the book of Yahshua and read. For no one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and His spirit it hath gathered them. He says, for Yahweh here counsels us to search the Bible and to, I'm going to say search the Scriptures. That's actually what it says in the Scripture. And for Yahweh counsels us for the searching of the Scriptures and for the implicitly believe that not one of his prophecies shall fail. No, not one shall fail to follow another in his tongue. And why should we have the confidence, this confidence? Because Yahshua, Yahweh himself, has commanded, and because his spirit, not the wisdom of the efforts of men, has gathered into a single volume the writings of the prophets of old, the book of Yahshua, the non-sectarian Bible as we know it today. Isaiah 34:17, and he has cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. And regardless of whether we take this verse to say that the wild beast shall possess it forever, or whether we take it to say that those who seek out the book of the Yahshua shall possess it forever, for our greatest concern must be personally acquaint ourselves with Yahshua and his truth. If we would gain his favor and find a shelter in the time of storm or the time of trouble, find a shelter in the time of trouble, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land, Isaiah 32:1-2. Now we shall go on into the 35th chapter of the Isaiah, which is but a continuation of the 34. Isaiah 35:1. For the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. What a difference when the Yahshua manifests his power and purifies his church. In the lands of the Gentiles, the wilderness, and the land of the heathen, the solitary place, shall both be glad to see the Yahweh's holy people. Finally, as the Yahweh's truth for this time penetrates throughout the land, where there are no Christians at all, the desert places shall blossom as the rose, so to speak, and thus yield an abundant harvest of souls. Isaiah 35:2-4. For it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with the joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel, and Sharon. They shall see the glory of Yahshua and the excellency of our Yahweh. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Yahshua will come with a vengeance, even the Yahshua with a recompense. He will come and save you. For the great commission and opportunity for the proclaiming of the Yahshua soon coming vengeance are ours. We must not fail for the taking advantage of these privileges. With the mighty message for this time, we must strengthen the weak. We must take the firm. We must make firm the knees that are given out. Those who are unable for the standing up and for the holding of their own must be strengthened. We must reassure the fearful that Yahweh is to come with a vengeance against the unbelieving and with a recompense for the faithful. Isaiah 35:5-6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams of the truth in the desert. When these things take place, then it will be just as natural for the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to leap, and the dumb to sing, yes, as the natural as blossoms are followed with the fruit. For the obvious truth for this time is to spread everywhere and reap a great harvest of the souls. I saw jets of the light shining from the cities and villages and from the high places and the low places of the earth. For the Yahweh's word was obeyed, and as a result, there were memorials for him in every city and village. For that's here in the United States. It starts right here. For his truth was proclaimed throughout the world. And it goes from the United States to throughout the whole world. Testimony Volume 9, page 28. If the one soul saved from every city and village, there would be several times 144,000 living souls. Isaiah 35:7. And the parched ground, the places which are now entirely devoid of the truth, shall become a pool. And the thirsty land, a land that thirsts for the Yahweh's truth, or the Yahshua's truth, that's the Son, springs of the water, and the habitations of the dragons, where each lay shall be grass with the reeds and the rushes. There shall be fruitage, you see, even where the dragons lie. Isaiah 35:8, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of the holiness, for the unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though the fools shall not err therein. None shall be left in the wilderness, for there shall be a highway for all of the followers of the Yahweh's truth. Matters not what the faithful be, illiterate, or otherwise they shall not err therein. Indeed, all the wheat shall be gathered and put into the barn. For the kingdom, see tract number 3, the judgment and the harvest, Isaiah 35:9. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall be not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Once the hypocrites are taken out, they shall not be allowed for the returning and for the end to endanger the peace of the Yahweh's people. Only the redeemed shall walk on the highway of the holiness. And where does the highway lead? The next verse gives the answer. Isaiah 35:10. And the ransom of Yahshua shall return and come unto Zion with the songs, and everlasting joy upon their heads, for they shall obtain joy, and gladness, and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away. Yes, the highway leads to Zion, with the songs and everlasting joy shall the redeemed enter therein, nevermore to sorrow or to sigh. For he cometh unto to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with the righteousness and the people with his truth. Psalm 96:13. Brother, sister, the sacrifices we may be called to make are as nothing in comparison unto the tribute of the heading for Zion via the highway of holiness. Ponder upon this. Then act. Let nothing deter you from complying with the Yahweh's truth for this time, the day in which the nations see Edom perish, that's the Seventh-day Adventist Church, It's Mount Eden today, and the desert blossomed. And that desert is literally going to blossom right here in Texas. We're going to West Texas. We're going to go where this prophecy has designated this to happen. Where I came from, where I was brought to when I was a child, at the age of 9 years old, I was brought here. My dad brought us here. And November the 20th, 1946, act now, while the highway to Zion is in the preparation, we all went under the tree and sat down to look at the glory of the place. My brethren Fitch and Stockman, who had preached the gospel of the kingdom, and whom Yahweh had laid in the grave to save them, came up unto us and asked us what we had passed through while they were sleeping. We tried to call up our greatest child, but they looked so small compared with the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory that surrounded us that we could not speak them out. And we all cried out, "Hallelujah! Heaven is chief enough." And we touched our glorious harps and made heaven arches ring. Early writings, page 710. Brought us to the end of number 35, volume 1 of Tommy Green. And we've got about 10 more minutes left, so we're just going to go right on into Tommy Green's number 36. With the title, Comfort Ye, My People. This is a very good sermon to have at a time like this. Apparently it's very timely. Heaven has laid it out that way. This is, last week we finished studying the 35th chapter of the book of the Isaiah, the Ekihata says. He gave this a text of address April the 12th, 1947. With the historical data, the theme of the Isaiah's prophecy, we shall continue, for inspiration picks up the thread of thought in chapter 40 with a tender plea unto Yahweh's message-bearing people, Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Yeshua. I'm putting Yeshua in the place of this God, pagan God title for Baal, the Father, because this is Yeshua that is working with Isaiah on all of his prophecy. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Yeshua. Speak ye comfortably unto Yerushalayim, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received at Yeshua's hand double for all her sin. Verse 2 leaves no doubt that inspiration is speaking unto a people in the latter days, the days in which the warfare, privilege, pilgrimage, and captivity of Yahweh's weary people are accomplished, have received double for their sin and rebellion, their iniquity is pardoned, and are now soon to be delivered. You cannot afford for the overlooking of this comforting message. You must not neglect to make ready, for that is the reason that it is now unsealed and freely delivered unto you. Prepare to meet thy Yahweh, or thy Yahshua, prepare to meet the Son, is his keynote. Isaiah 40, verse 3, for the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Yahshua. And that goes along with Malachi 3, 1 to 3, and also Malachi 4, 5. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Redeemer, Yeshua. True. Verse 3. Found the fulfillment in the work of the John the Baptist. that the verses preceding and also the verses following definitely apply unto the people in the latter days and only partially unto the people in the John's day. Therefore, the truth stands out boldly that the direct fulfillment of this chapter is found in our time. This making John's work an example of our work. For John's work as a type, ours as the antitype. There's that type and antitype. And Brother Johnson, I'm my pastor for 33 years and prophet at Kermit, Texas, Gilead Center, 1970 to 2003, he was so big on quoting V.T. Hollis, type and antitype. And he says, well, there's no type, there's no truth. And Brothers tried to put together type and antitype, and he failed on everything he tried because it wasn't for him to accomplish that. And so therefore we are called upon to give you the strict application of type and antitype today in the 12th parabolic hour. Brothers is working in the 11th parabolic hour. That was the hour preceding the hour that this is designated to be taught, type and antitype, for the wilderness and the desert, Isaiah 40 verse 3, and the contrast unto the vineyard. The house of the Judah literally and antitypically says, so when you say, anytime you say the house of Judah, you should capitalize house and then of the Judah, which would be the lawgiver. And this is the kingdom's headquarters where Yahshua and his son, Yahshua and his underservant, antitypically Elijah David, they are running the everlasting kingdom of heaven of Daniel 2, 44 and 45, that Yahshua was sent down here with this kingdom. And the days of these kings right here in this last parabolic hour that we're working in now is the 12th parabolic hour, literally and antitypically says, for the voice of him that crieth in the land of the Gentiles, that say, prepare ye the way of the Yahshua, make straight in the Gentile world a highway for our Yahshua, Isaiah 40 verse 4, every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill shall be made low and the crooked shall be made straight and the rough places plain. For the making of this highway straight, the voice is as it were for the raising up of the valleys, cut through the mountains and hills and grind down the rough places. That is, every obstruction must and will be removed, for the saints must be gathered regardless where they live. Isaiah 40 verse 5. And the glory of the Yahshua shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Yahshua has spoken it. This shall come to pass as soon as the highway is made ready. Isaiah 40 verse 16. Where the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flowers of the field. For the grass withereth, the flowers have faded, because the Spirit of the Yahshua bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flowers fadeth, but the word of our Yahweh shall stand forever. For the voice proclaims that all are grass. Then all the goodliness in men is as the flowers of the field. But the word of the Yahweh stands forever. It must be, then, that men are blind unto this reality. Else they would not need be reminded of them. It must be that they are dependent upon the flesh instead of upon the word of Yahweh and his Spirit. Isaiah 40 verse 9 to 11, O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice, with the strength lifted up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of the Judah, behold your Yeshua, behold the Yeshua will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him, and that's his kingdom, which is the everlasting kingdom of heaven, which is same thing as the everlasting kingdom of David, Daniel 2:44-45. That's set up in the days of these kings here in the last days in this 10th and this 12th parabolic hour. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. See, he comes, and his work is before him here in this 12th parabolic hour while probation is still open. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. For the message which this chapter contains, we see, is not a message for to be preached unto the world, but unto the cities of the antitypical Judah, which is right here in the United States, the earth, and the earth, which is the house of David, which is the house of Yeshua. Yeshua sits upon this throne of David and this kingdom of David, and he and antitypical David makes up this ensign. For the church and those who proclaim it are the citizens of the antitypical Zion and Jerusalem, members of the church. They are fearlessly to lift up their voices with the strength. They are to explain that the people whom Yahweh, Yeshua, the Son, uses to get his work done are his arm. That's what I said a while ago. This is the kingdom of David. Is this arm of Yeshua. This is his kingdom. That they are to rule for him. See, they are to rule for him, for Yeshua. That his reward is with him, and his work yet before him, that he shall feed his flock, and with his arm, with his church, he shall gather the lambs, the newly converted, and carry them unto his kingdom. This brings in verse 3, this hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive to hear this message and more. We're going to close now with a song. Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbath-Saturday Congregation outside of 12th Hour, Hill, Texas. Today is June 20, 2018, or into the 7th day of the 4th month, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, What a Friend We Have in Yahshua.
What a friend we have in Yahshua. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Yah in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to Yah in prayer. Every trials and temptation is a trouble anywhere. We should never be discouraged. To the Yah in prayer, and we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share. Yahshua knows our every weakness. Take it to the Yah in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with the load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Yah in prayer. Do the friends desire
us forsake thee, take it to the dying friend, and his arms he'll take and shield me. Thou wilt find a solace there.